Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The illustration doesn't make any sense. It borders on lunacy. Shepherd and sheep you'll abide with. The Lord calls you his sheep in the Old Testament, in the epistle reading, and that's cute. Sheep are nice from a distance. Maybe you're even willing to go along with him in the part of the illustration that sheep are obstinate and prone to wander and get lost on their own, always in need of a shepherd to care for them. And then a shepherd who will look for lost sheep, who will guide his sheep into green pastures, who will tend you with his rod and his staff. That's a welcome illustration too. That makes for a nice sentiment. You'll go along with that. But this, the gospel reading today, is not the parable of the lost sheep. This is not the 23rd Psalm. No. Jesus in the gospel reading ramps up the insanity of what he's saying. It is almost unmatched in any of the rest of his illustrations. He does call himself a physician, but he does not say the good physician gets sick and dies so that his patients can live. He does call himself the sower of the word, but he does not say the sower chops himself up into little bits so that he can plant a piece of himself with every seed, so that the plants can grow lush and ripe. He does call himself the vine, but he does not say the good vine rots so that the branches can flourish and yield a huge grape harvest. And then he calls himself the good shepherd. But he does say, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's nonsensical. The hireling smartly flees when death is at his door, when the wolf is stalking him. But the good shepherd sees the wolf coming, strides right up to the wolf, prepares a table in the presence of the wolf, death, puts a linen tablecloth out, gets his finest golden platter, sprinkles himself with seasoning, and lies down on the platter so the wolf can gobble him up and be sated. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Not just any shepherd, not just any pastor, as that is the Latin translation, the Latin word that gets translated as shepherd, but the good shepherd, the pastor bonus. One shepherd alone is good, very good. When all other shepherds fail, the Lord declares, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. And then peculiarly, again, don't do this if you tend a flock of sheep, the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. I am the good shepherd, Jesus tells you. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus alone, the good shepherd. No other shepherd can or will die for the sheep. No other shepherd has the authority to lay down his life and to take it back up again. As Jesus says elsewhere in chapter 10 of St. John's account of the gospel, Jesus alone is good. So why is that so hard to believe? Why is his word so hard to trust? Why are false shepherds more alluring? Why do shepherds who offer you temporary comfort and momentary blessings seem to entice more than the good shepherd who offers you eternal comfort and enduring blessings? Why do your ears prefer the words of false shepherds who tell you, there's nothing to worry about, that remaining in your sin is fine, that as long as you feel good about yourself, that's what matters? Why are shepherds who lead you where the road is broad and easy preferable to the shepherd who leads you along the narrow way? Why are false words easier to hear than words spoken by the one who calls himself the truth, whose word creates truth? And worse, why is it contrary to your nature to believe that the good shepherd's pasture is a good place to abide, that his gifts for his flock are good for you? Why do you struggle to trust his gracious invitation to hear his word weekly or even twice weekly? Why do you struggle to believe that studying the Word of God for another hour of Bible class after the divine service on Sunday morning is better for you than brunch or a nap? Why does the daily discipline of prayer and devotion and study of the Word feel onerous, more like an oppressive burden than a life-giving blessing? Something to check off your to-do list until you can move on to the more productive, pleasant, pleasurable things. Sure, Jesus is the good shepherd, everyone assents, but how good is he? Your flesh pushes back. Is he really that good? Why do you want to question whether the good shepherd is good enough? Why do crosses and trials that the good shepherd allows to afflict you cause you to wonder just what he means by calling himself good? Why do you not believe his word, that he uses these crosses, these trials, evil though they are, for your good and for the strengthening of your faith? If this shepherd is truly good, why does he permit suffering? Because he suffered. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus alone fits that paradigm. There is one good shepherd. Jesus alone is the good shepherd, who alone has laid down his life for the sheep. Here is where other shepherds, other pastors fail. No one else does this. No one else sets the pattern of good the way Jesus defines the word by his intentional offering of his own life. To deal with false shepherds, to deal with sheep prone to wander, Jesus came to be the full and final shepherd. The shepherd is good, because he alone was willing to face the wolf death, able to offer himself as the final meal forever to satisfy ravenous death, so that none of the rest of his flock will ever be gobbled by death. Had the good shepherd not come to rescue his sheep from the wolf death, they would have remained hopeless and helpless. But this shepherd did not flee when death stalked him. In fact, he sought out death in order to lay down his life for his sheep. He predicts it over and over again all throughout the Gospels, and it all unfolds according to his will, which aligns with his Father's will. He will lay down his life on purpose on the cross. He went willingly to the cross to die, to be devoured by death himself. And then when the wolf death swallowed the shepherd Jesus for the first time, his appetite was satisfied. He no longer had that gnawing hunger, that insatiable desire to gobble up all the rest of the Lord's sheep. And then 3 days after being devoured by death, the shepherd tore open death's belly and left him powerless and dying, emerged triumphant from the grave. Of course, the illustration is lunacy. No other shepherd is like this. No one else is good like this. No one else, only the sinless Son of God, can be the sacrifice for sinners. No one else can lay down his life and take it up again. Language fails We tread into the absurd because our thoughts are always aligned with what we can see, with what makes sense. The gospel is nonsensical. It's otherworldly. It's so counter to our flesh that it seems like lunacy. And yet it is true. Truer than you can see, truer than you can imagine, truer than you can describe. Jesus is the good shepherd. Moreover, he is your good shepherd. He leads you through death into life. All the sheep whom he tends who follow their good shepherd, he leads right through the gaping mouth of the wolf death and right out his belly in the resurrection. Death is powerless to hold those who follow the good shepherd. He comforts you with his rod and his staff, the crook of his cross, the reminder of his sacrifice to restore you into his fold. For you were straying like sheep, says St. Peter, but have now returned to the good shepherd, the pastor and bishop of your souls. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. He isn't good because he died. Rather, he died because he's good and because he seeks your good. In everything he does, it is always only for the good of his sheep. If the good shepherd was willing to face the wolf death for you, then everything else he gives you must also be for your good. And he prepares a table before you in his presence. In the midst of a world of sin and death, in the midst of your daily struggle against your sinful flesh, in the heat of the devil's temptations, in the midst of your enemies, the Lord spreads a table before you. The good shepherd feeds his flock with his own flesh and blood. These are both proof that your Lord lives and death is dead, and the guarantee that his sheep will live with him forever. The shepherd himself promises, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will live forever, and I will raise him up on the last day." This is your shepherd, the Lord Jesus, your good shepherd indeed, the good shepherd who laid down his life for you. Because of him, you shall not want. He is the good shepherd, better than any good you've ever known, better than any good you can imagine. Trust him. He gives you life. Rest in him. He gives you hope. Hear his words. He gives you faith and forgiveness. Receive his gifts. They are good beyond any comparison, good like nothing else in earth. He is the good shepherd, and he is your good shepherd who has laid down his life for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.